And also, thanks Aranya, Patu, and Dr. Lata for inviting the two of you to share our work with all of you. And I think that, you know, the collective wisdom that we have in this group, it's not comparable with the kind of reports that we see in the public domain on flows or rivers or social life or cultural aspects. So what I'm trying to put across is, you know, the work done by more than 40 odd guys who are pioneers in their own fields. WWF's role was a coordinating role. When we started off in 2007, trying to look at the issue of rivers and most importantly the flows, you know, we didn't know what we were really getting into, because the knowledge on e-flows was very limited at that point in time, and nor was there capacity. Even if you knew what flows were, how do you assess it? You know, what are the first steps that one should take? They've come a long way, thanks to the patience that some of my colleagues had, you know, who had been there with the team for the last 5 years. They had been patiently working on it, slowly building alliances and building capacities within WWF as well as outside. Now, before I get into my presentation, you know, I have about 1 hour and 15 minutes. My intention is not to deliver a technical talk, because, you know, while you were introducing yourself, you know, I was quite amazed by the diversity of this group, you know, ranging from sociologists to the economists to biologists to, you know, students to everyone, you know. So I'm not getting into that, but the purpose of my presentation is to give you an overview of what this building block methodology is, how different it is from other approaches that are available for e-flows assessment, and most importantly, if someone claims that someone has done e-flows assessment using BBM, building block methodology, how can we sort of cross-check that? And some thoughts, you know, if you were to do or mainstream e-flows, what are the things that would be required? Thanks to Dr. Lata, she has set the tone for this debate. So I'll straight away get into my presentation, and as I go along, if you need some clarifications, please feel free to stop. I'm sure you're familiar with this site. Anyone where this is? It's on the banks of the Ganga.
Varanasi.
That shows life, a part of the life that revolves around the river. Every evening there is a Ganga Aarti, you know, it unites people. I'm not talking about a religion, but the faith in the river. It brings a lot of people together. We'll talk about it as we go along. Now, what are environmental flows? Any guesses or anything that you want to recollect or recapture from what Dr. Lata was talking about? What are e-flows? Now, there are many terminologies floating around, minimum flows, low flows, you know, pioneering institutes doing CIS, you know, misunderstand e-flows and minimum flows. They use minimum flows off and on. They come back arguing that minimum flows are e-flows. So what is e-flows? E-flows are those flows that are required. Again, you know, please note, it's not environmental flow, but we are calling it as flows. It's a regime of flows, which can mimic the natural behavior of a river, the goods and services that the river can offer you. It also ensures that such a flow will ensure that the social, cultural, and spiritual aspects that the river supports are mimicked. So that's a broad definition of environmental flows. Now, our work, as I said, you know, we wanted to sort of look at the holistic picture of looking, assessing the e-flows. You know, if you look at it, in 2005, if I remember rightly, the Water Quality Assessment Authority, which is housed in the Ministry of Water Resources, chaired by the Secretary of Ministry of Environment and Forest, set up a committee to look at the issue of minimum flows. And they came up with some recommendations, or you know, based on some hydrologic calculations, Tennant method and everything, some ad hoc figures. They never bothered to go along and understand that. And 3 years later, I think the report was out, but it's still in the public domain. And when we cross-checked with them in February, they said that it's under publication. So we just wanted to look at, you know, what are the holistic ways of looking at heat flows. And we also wanted to, we realized that there was a capacity gap within ourselves. Within WWF as an organization, we didn't have the capacity, but we also wanted to sort of build that capacity and also build capacity of other organizations. And there are a lot of fights happening against development of rivers or overuse of water from the rivers. People are actually taking up cases against the hydropower developers and the government, but they also need to understand, you know, how EFOs could be am I audible?
Louder.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe, you can use the lesson. So the key challenges that we were faced with was there were over 200 methodologies. What do we pick? Which is most appropriate to the Ganga? Okay, like Dr. Lala was saying, there are new technologies developed in the West. So if you bring them and if you copy them, you know, will it suit the real needs of the group? So we can do always such assessments, but will that be relevant and realistic? And the other major issue that we faced was, you know, limited data. You know, Professor Goswami in the morning raised this very, very, very important issue that most of us in the civil society are grappling with. You know, where do we get hydrologic data? Why is there a why is hydrological data in this country very secret? Why can't it be put it out in the public domain? So the question was, okay, we want to do this, but if data is not available, what do we do? But at the end of this particular exercise, we believe that, okay, data availability is, of course, it's a constraint, but it shouldn't stop any one of us from venturing into this advantage. Capacity. Who will carry out this assessment and who will validate? So we'll go along, we'll discuss this as we go along. So originally, you know, the concept of the e-flows, you know, Dr. Leather touched upon it, just to recollect, the concept was developed in the 70s, originally looking at ecology and hydrology. Later, people said that, okay, well, social aspects, human beings are also important, so let us add another lens to it. So, the construct of the e-flows still remain within the domain of hydrology, ecology, hydraulics, geomorphology, extra were added. So it remained mostly scientific, technical. The social aspects were brought in as a layer. Now, again it has evolved. Now we are saying that e-flows assessment, like Dr. Walter Fernandez rightly touched upon, it's very much related to us. I mean, every one of us is impacted with low flow or high flow or medium flows or low flows. So it has to be inbuilt into it, and now it cannot stand alone. You know, today, all of you know, dams are constructed, dams are planned, and then e-flows assessments are carried out. That's a wrong approach. What is the overall scheme of things under which you are planning the dams or any abstraction structures? That's completely missing in India, and that's going to take a long time, because you have seen the national water policy, the draft that has come out. It also gives us no hope that the things that were happening in the past is going to be stopped. So where are we heading to? I don't know, but you know, the kind of meetings that we are organizing, you know, thanks to Samir and Dr. Leather and Arunya, and I think this is the only way to go about, you know, create that demand from the civil society groups so that, you know, the government is forced to look at a framework under which e-flows sits in, and that determines the development of rivers. So what we are talking about is the requirement for a framework under which e-flows are assessed. Well, e-flows is not an engineer's business. It's not the business of a hydrologist. It's first a social process. the assessment has to be a social process. Now that's the problem that most of us have with the CIAs or the EIA reports, which looks at the e-flows. Those are purely done from a technical point of view. Where is the social aspect coming in? Who talk to people downstream, people who live upstream? Who understand what the aspirations of the people are? That's completely missing. So then why are we calling it as an e-flows assessment? Again, we should then call it as a low flow assessment or a minimum flow assessment from a dam operation point of view. And so the first principle is that e-flows got to be a social and a scientific process. And that's the reason why I said, you know, I'm presenting here the work of 40 odd guys who interacted with several people across the Ganga basin. And our work was in the first 800 kilometers of the Ganga from Gangotri to Kanpur. And we did assessment in about 4 locations. And because of the limited resources and the first time we were trying out something. And now we have the confidence so we can expand that. So this 40 group comprised sociologists, geomorphologists, hydrologists, biodiversity experts, wildlife experts, economists. So there was a wide-ranging group of people who never otherwise interact on a common issue like this, issue of importance like this. And the wisdom that these guys brought together was the strength of the work that we did. There is no one correct e-flows regime for the rivers. If someone says 15% of the mean annual runoff is the minimum flows or the e-flows in the river, please question that. E-flow is a regime of flows. Every month, every day has an e-flows requirement.